Before we get into today's Reddit stories, I first of all need to tell you about one of my other favorite Reddit podcasts out there, the OKOP Show. If you guys are looking for even more daily Reddit content, then the OKOP Show with John and Sam is perfect for you. Just search for the letters OKOP wherever you get your pods.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
What is going on, everyone, and welcome back to the channel. I hope you're all doing well. Now, today I've got for you some phenomenal revenge stories from r/nuclear revenge. As you can tell by the title and thumbnail, the revenge stories in this one get pretty serious, but we're not actually starting with the swamp revenge. Instead, here is a revenge story in which a woman gets her life completely and utterly destroyed. Before we get into it, make sure to drop a like on this one, subscribe and follow if you are new to the channel. Here we go. Aunt broke my model kit, so I took away her everything. This whole thing started exactly a year ago, but just ended. And a friend told me to post here, so off we go. I live in Turkey, and as you know, the southeast of my country was wrecked by a couple of giant earthquakes a year ago. My city was the epicenter, and while the house I lived in with my family wasn't destroyed, a lot of shelves got knocked off. And one of them was the one where I held my Gunpla kits. Now, I'm not entirely sure, guys, what that is, but I think it's some sort of anime thing, figurine. Now, I don't want to, get that wrong. So in the comments, let me know, but yeah, some sort of figurine, toys, whatever. Out of all the kits I had, only one survived, an MGDO that was heavily customized. I built it with my grandfather, who passed away a few years ago, so I was ecstatic it survived. Now, a few months after everything had calmed down, my mother called her relatives for dinner, which included Aunt B. Now, not B for female dog, her name does actually start with the letter B. She came alongside her son, who is 8 and is an entitled brat. While the adults were drinking coffee, this little brat barged in my room and demanded to play with my computer. Now, I refused since I was editing a video for my college society and had the camera on. Well, the brat went back crying to his mother, who came and started yelling at me. While I was dealing with her, her little brat climbed on my desk, took my model kit, and then immediately dropped it and stepped on it. The rest is just yelling, me swearing up and down, telling them they were going to pay for it, with her calling me a weirdo for still having toys and that she wasn't going to pay for trash. My mother at first thought about not making her pay to keep the peace, but when she realized it was a kit that I made with my late grandfather, her father, she was angrier than I was and went out for blood. We took the case to a friend of hers who is a lawyer that specializes within family cases, and they told us since my camera caught it all, we would definitely win, but it was better to just come to an agreement out of court in a settlement since it would be cheaper. I pulled out a price list of the kits I needed to make an exact replica of the one that was destroyed, and it came to just about $1,000 US, which came to about 25 to 27,000 Turkish lira with the exchange rate. Well, she refused, so we took her to court. She pulled all kinds of BS to not pay and delay, but the judge ended up making her pay $1,650 plus an order for her to pay any border taxes on the replacement kits alongside the court and lawyer fees. It completely effed her savings, and her husband, who was already waiting for a chance to divorce her, took it. When it all ended up, she had nothing and even lost her brat's custody to her ex-husband, and not only lost the down payment she had for a house, but all her savings, and she didn't get alimony from her husband. Now, am I happy that her life got completely effed? No, not really. Do I feel sorry it happened? Not in the slightest. She and her crotch goblin effed around and found out it's that simple. I feel bad for her husband though. He's going to be the one trying to make that brat into a normal person, and I don't envy him in the slightest. Wow, that is definitely nuclear. From something so kind of seemingly not that bad at all. I mean, it happens. Kids destroy things. They can be horrible. We all know this. You do have to, though, understand the fact that, it's very sad, the thing that has been destroyed, and it's also very expensive as well. Surely you just pay the money back. But no, she chose not to, and yeah, as OP said in the title,
He took away her everything. Crazy. It's kind of mad how not paying damages after your kid did one thing led to her losing her house, custody, a divorce. My goodness me, all her money. Oh, crazy. And having to pay back more in the end anyway. There we go, the definition of sweet nuclear revenge. Now let's get into the story from the title and thumbnail. Neighbor ruined my garden. I turned his yard into a swamp. Get ready for a wild ride, folks. This is the story of how my battle with a neighbor over my beloved garden led me to transform his pristine yard into a swamp, and in the process, I became a local legend. It all started when I moved into a new house, which came with a small but charming garden. Gardening quickly became my passion, and I spent months turning that space into a blooming paradise full of flowers and a few veggies. My neighbors seemed to appreciate the view, all except one. Let's call him Grumpy Greg. Grumpy Greg was the kind of guy who took too much pride in his perfectly manicured lawn, the type that looks more like a golf course than a yard. He despised my garden, calling it untidy and an eyesore that attracted pests. I tried to reason with him, offered to keep it more contained, even suggested setting up a small fence. But no, Greg wanted it gone. One morning, I woke up to find most of my garden destroyed. Flowers uprooted, veggies trampled, and my small bird bath smashed. I knew it was Greg. No proof, but who else would it be? I was furious, heartbroken, but then inspiration struck. I remembered Greg's one true love, his flawless lawn. I did some research and found the perfect, most diabolical yet completely legal revenge. I bought hundreds of water retention crystals, the kind meant to help soil retain moisture for plants. Except I wasn't planning on using them for their intended purpose. Under the cover of night, I went to work, spreading these crystals all over Greg's precious lawn. These tiny crystals are harmless, but when they come into contact with water, they expand, holding many times their weight in water. And wouldn't you know, the forecast predicted a week of heavy rain starting the next day. The rain came and the crystals did their job too well. Greg's perfect lawn transformed into a squishy, waterlogged mess. Every step taken on the grass felt like stepping on a waterbed. The lawnmower got stuck and the yard had become the neighborhood's newest swamp. Greg was livid, blaming everyone and everything for his misfortune, but he couldn't prove a thing. It took weeks for the effects to wear off, and by then, his lawn never truly recovered. In the meantime, I rebuilt my garden, even better than before. Neighbors who learned about the ordeal and Greg's role in destroying my garden came to help, bringing plants, seeds, and even a new bird bath. My garden became a symbol of the community, a place where neighbors would stop by to chat and admire the flowers. As for Greg, he became a lot less grumpy, especially after I casually mentioned how unpredictable gardening can be, and how it's important to have a good relationship with your neighbors. He got the message loud and clear. So that's the tale of how I turned a bully's yard into a swamp, and in the process, united our little community. Sometimes a bit of creative thinking and a whole lot of water retention crystals is all it takes to stand up to a bully and come out on top. All right, there we go. Now, the cynic in me is saying, and guys, I want to hear your thoughts on this, that this might not be real. I'm going to be honest. It's written almost like a movie script, and I'm not entirely sure. Now, I did know this before recording and narrating this, but I wanted to hear your thoughts more generally, because as I always say with stories like this, there is no way of actually knowing for real if this has happened. I mean, even if I, you know, contacted the person who wrote it and asked them for an interview, they could still lie to me. So we've got no way of knowing if this happened for real. So I can only judge it based on what we've got here. What do you think down below? Some things for me don't add up. Would you really wake up and your whole garden's been destroyed and you didn't wake up at some point during the night? I'm not sure. Can water crystals really cause that much of a mess and that much damage? I'm again, not sure. Comment down below, what do you think? I mean, superficially, or at least on the surface, it's a great story of nuclear revenge, but I'm just not sure I believe it.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Okay, now moving on to our next story. This one from r/prorevenge. Landlord screwed with the wrong tenant for too long. The minor details here might not be entirely accurate, as I've no interest in a revival of this conflict on any level. I won completely, and any resurrection can only taint the experience. We'll start off by noting that I spent about 2 decades working in security. During that time, I worked many different types of security in many different locations. The one that matters for this story was time spent in the rental housing tribunal in a major city as a kind of bailiff. For those not knowing what that is, think of a courtroom in a major city anyway. In a smaller town, it will probably be an event room in a hotel or community center, as you'd see on TV, but with less formality and an adjudicator instead of a judge. They functionally are the same thing to landlords and tenants, but they definitely aren't the same thing. This place exclusively deals with landlord and tenant disputes, and is the only place to resolve said disputes. Note that I wasn't a bailiff and it wasn't a court, but these terms most accurately describe the situation and my place in it. Okay, so Opie had experience here. For 2 years, I worked at the rental housing tribunal. It was early in my time in security. I was 18 to 20-ish. Being as it was a major city, the sheer number of cases I sat through was beyond my ability to count. I saw everything there was to see. No one is capable of surprising me with a story because I've seen them all. In detail, as a side duty of mine was to ensure that all parties had copies of all evidence being presented, I did a lot of photocopying and always read and inspected everything I copied to ensure that nothing got cut off or made illegible. By the time I stopped working there, I probably knew the way everything worked well enough to be an adjudicator myself. Well, no, obviously not, but I'm certainly in no need of a lawyer either should I ever have the need to go there. I also had intimate knowledge of how the system worked beyond the actual rules. Like, for example, adjudicators would always give a little leeway to anyone representing themselves over someone who had a lawyer, or how annoyed adjudicators would get when a party was speaking out of turn. Seriously, do not do that. Okay, so skip forward almost a decade now. I left the city and I'm in a fairly large town in the same province, with the same tenant laws. I have a few roommates in a decently sized townhouse. We get along well, but there's a problem. Only I can write checks and our paydays don't line up. So I'm the one who pays the rent and I usually can't do it on the first because my roommates don't usually all pay in time. We advise the landlord we might be a day or two late, but we'll always have it by the third at the latest. They have no problem with it at all. I spoke to them myself. For about a year, this works fine. No complaints from the landlord because even if we're often a day or two late, we always pay. We're also fairly quiet and don't damage the property. Nearly model tenants. I do not actually have any idea why, but one day this changed. I suspect a different person in the company started overseeing the region. One day, suddenly, we got a summons to the Rental Housing Tribunal, hereafter to be referred to as RHT, on the 2nd of the month for failure to pay rent. This doesn't actually lead to a case because we paid the same day, but now we have to pay the application fee the landlord paid in order to serve the summons. I complained to the neighbour, who was also the superintendent, and eventually heard back that their contact at the company was now demanding first of the month, no exceptions. Well, that really didn't work for us, so we probably had to pay that fee 15 to 20 times over the next 2 years. I could have gone to the tribunal over it, but we were technically without a leg to stand on, and I knew it. Maybe if I went enough times, I could ding them for harassment, but I didn't have time for that, and my roommates don't care. After being split between us all, the fee wasn't enough of a deterrent to change our behaviour, so we accepted it. Now, if this was the only issue, there wouldn't be much story though. At around the same time the rent leeway vanished, so did mandatory maintenance. I'm not going to list everything that went wrong and wasn't fixed. You'll get a decent idea at the end. We suffered through it. We were all working too many hours at terrible pay to be able to actually do anything about it. We adapted. But after about 2 years, it broke. Everyone but me up and moved out for various reasons within a 4-month period. I'm not going to go into any details on my roommates at all because things kind of exploded for a couple of different reasons outside of this. No reason to dig any of that up. I had been saving up for a while and was able to quit my job without having to immediately get another, so I suddenly had a lot of time. I didn't want to stay and pay the rent by myself or have to find new roommates I could live with, and with my experience in the RHT, I knew I had the landlord by the balls. So I went for them. I stopped paying rent. Annoyingly, I didn't get a summons the first month, but I did the second, so I went. With a meticulously documented plethora of evidence of failure to maintain the property and entering the property without formal notice, I had a copy of the landlord and a copy for the adjudicator. I know from experience that technically you're supposed to give the other part of the evidence before the tribunal, but I also knew about that leeway an adjudicator gives to those who represent themselves. So I didn't give the landlord the evidence until our case came up. 100% total ambush. Now, they argued that they were ambushed, but the adjudicator just dismissed the case, dressed me down a little, and told me to file my own summons as I should have done. This was the petty revenge. The landlord and lawyer drove 3 hours to get there for nothing. Worse than nothing. I filed my own summons and the big day shows up. It's been about 4 months of me not paying rent at this point. I'm prepared to if I lose, but I don't think I'm going to. The whole thing could not have gone better. I had 20 to 30 pages of evidence and 20 odd photographs. They had nothing. They had no actual defense for our water heater being out for 6 months or us not having a fridge for a year, just to mention two severe issues. Their entire defense rested on us being late for rent, which actually worked against them once that led to the adjudicator learning how many times we'd paid the application fee and lies that had no evidence to support them. They even talked over me a few times, and I saw, in the adjudicator's eyes, the one time I opened my mouth to protest during their turn to speak, but I forced myself to shut up with every gram of willpower I had, so only a squeak came out, and the adjudicator respected me for that. But he had no respect for the landlord. I'd won on every possible front. The only question was how much. It was more than I'd ever seen. I got 9 months of free rent, and the landlord was ordered to have everything fixed before the next month was over, or I'd get more. I gave notice that I was leaving at the end of the 8th month, and I left at the end of the 9th. Because the landlord had never renewed the lease, I didn't have to give him the 3-month notice the lease specified. So if you want to put a figure on it, I basically got a $13,000 judgment in my favour, adjusted for inflation, and rounded. I also made the landlord and lawyer drive 3 hours, twice, only to lose. The landlord's face was so red at the end, I thought he'd have a heart attack. He didn't though. Bye, Mark. Well, one thing is for sure, there is nothing worse than a bad landlord. I feel like they're just in a position of ultimate power. And a lot of the time, you do hear pretty bad stories of landlords just abusing that power and taking advantage of their tenants in so many different ways. And this one, I wasn't really expecting, but this sounds awful. I mean, not having a fridge for a year, it's crazy. I mean, you add on top of that the fact that you didn't have hot water for 6 months. That's genuinely bordering on inhumane. I will say, though, that not all landlords are bad, and you do, I think, hear about the bad ones more than you hear about the good ones. I recently moved out of a flat with my mates, and the landlords were pretty good, to be fair. They gave us a decent chunk of our deposit back, what I think was fair, and they were nice and helpful throughout our entire tenancy. But I do think that bad landlords that do stuff like this give the rest of landlords a really bad rep. However, it's great to see that you got a very, very hefty judgment against them. Fair play to you. Now for our final story of revenge, metered on ramps. Back when metered on ramps were first installed on the main highway in my town in Oregon, the interval between lights on the ramp I used daily was 15 seconds. Cars would be backed up onto the adjacent feeder streets, and you could be stuck for 15 to 20 minutes on the ramp. It took a bit of research to find out that it wasn't the city or county, but ODOT, the Oregon Department of Transportation, that controlled them. After repeated complaints and no action, I finally got the names of the two ODOT traffic engineers responsible for setting the light intervals. I made numerous voicemails and finally had one discussion, but still, no fix to the issue. Well, back in the day, this happened in the early 2000s, we still had phone books, and both these engineers had listed home phone numbers. So I got a 4x8 piece of plywood and painted and lettered it. Are you tired of these idiotic ramp lights? Call the ODOT engineers responsible for them. Dennis M, and then OP has censored his surname, 503, and then censored the rest of the number, and Bill C censored, 503, rest of the number censored, and let them know what you think. Oh my goodness me, and I can assure you guys, they were not censored on OP's piece of plywood. I am sure about that. OP said they stood with it on the side of the ramp for 2 days, 4 p.m. to 6 p.m. The next day, I get a call from one of them, don't remember which, begging me to stop. I said, fix the frickin' lights. You'll stop with the sign? They replied, fix the frickin' lights. Okay. The very next day, they had a survey crew out there in the afternoon to count cars, And the day after that, the lights were reset to 3 seconds between cars. Bottom line, when dealing with government, until those personally responsible are held accountable in a manner that inconveniences or scares them, they will continue to abuse the public, whether from negligence, incompetence, or malice. But bring it home to them, and they will grudgingly change their ways. So this is pretty much doxing before the internet was a thing, right? I mean, before doxing as we know it now was a thing, this is the physical version of doing it. Imagine actually having to do this, going outside, marking someone's name, phone number on a piece of plywood and just showing each and every individual car to actually get something done. It's crazy that the OP had to go to this length, but yeah, I guess they did, and I guess it worked. I do think your last point is good. Until someone is actually dealing with the consequences of their stupid actions, I mean, who knows why it was set at 15 seconds when it could have been at 3? It's ridiculous. They're not going to change it, sadly. And I imagine that you weren't the first person to complain, by the way, OP. I'm sure lots of people who do that route a lot of times, we're also doing the same thing. But yeah, until you actually went out of your way and did something about it to affect them personally, nothing changed. So again, fair play to you. Anyway, guys, that is going to do it for this one. Hope you enjoyed these 4 revenge stories. Let me know in the comments down below. Rank them 1 to 4. Which was your favorite? Which was your least favorite? Was number 2 real? I want to hear your thoughts. If you want more revenge content straight away, check out this episode on screen. Subscribe over here if you're new to the channel. And yeah, I'll see you all tomorrow for some more phenomenal Reddit content.